Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Jane O'Connor is the author of Good Job, George. She is also the author of the best-selling Fancy Nancy series, which Disney Junior has made into an animated TV series. She's also an editor at a major publishing house in New York. Good Job, George was inspired by her granddaughter, who receives constant praise from her proud parents. Welcome, Jane. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss your latest book, Good Job, George.
Well, thanks, Sibby, so much for inviting me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's really nice to see you.
It has been a while. So for people listening, this is so crazy. So when I had my one and only, it turned out, meeting at Penguin Random House with Margaret Anastas, my editor for Princess Charming, he was just on our Zoom saying hi to us both. I was sitting in her office, and were you there right when I got there or something? I said,
I think I was.
I think you were too.
Besides being a writer, I'm an editor at Penguin Random House, so that I don't just stalk the offices.
Well, you were there and she introduced us, and I was so excited because I was like, oh my gosh, I've read every Fancy Nancy in the world to my daughter. Seriously, she was obsessed, my older daughter. And then we realized that your son was good friends with my brother, who of course I've known like forever, which is crazy. So, I mean, he could have mentioned to me.
that that's who
many
you were.
Connections.
Many connections, but that's very exciting. So before we talk about Good Job, George, your latest picture book, can you back up and just explain how you became, were you an editor first? Were you a children's book author first? Like, what is your whole trajectory? Like, how did we get here?
Well, it's been a long trajectory, but I was an editor first. I've been an editor in children's book publishing forever. And for a while, I was reviewing books as well between jobs. And I was doing some reviewing for the Times Sunday Book Review. And the more books I read, the more I wanted to try and write one. And so the first book that I wrote was a young middle grade novel called Yours Till Niagara Falls, Abby, about a girl who goes to summer camp and is miserably homesick and was very much patterned on 9-year-old Jane. But I never went to being a full-time writer. I really enjoyed editing and I kind of did both. And then I was publisher of the mass market imprints at Penguin Children's Books for about 10 years. And I was really wanting to write more. And I asked, and they let me go part-time and go back to just editing, not being a publisher. And that was when I started writing Fancy Nancy. Fancy Nancy was the first picture book I ever wrote. And I also wrote the first adult novel that I ever wrote. And so it's been now 20 years that I've been part-time and I get to do both things, which is a great combo.
That's amazing. I just love that. How did you come up with the idea for Fancy Nancy and then now George? Like, where do these characters come from in your consciousness, if you could even answer that question?
Yeah, no, I can. I was, as Zibby kind of half mentioned, I have sons. I have two huge grown men, but no little girls to play dress up with or have tea parties with. And one night I was making dinner for my family and all of a sudden the name Fancy Nancy flew in my head. And I got kind of the beginning of it and the end. It was the middle that took me a while. And it was patterned. I am not a fancy person. And I was not, you know, a big doll lover or playing with, but I like to dress up. And every Sunday, when I was like five, my grandmother and my great aunts used to come to visit. And I would come glumping out in a pair of my mom's high heels and a tutu, dripping jewelry. And I thought I looked glamorous. And so that was the kernel for the idea. And I never imagined it would become such a big part of my life, but it was loads of fun, and especially going to bookstores where these little divas would show up. it was great. And then almost 4 years ago, my older son and his wife had a daughter. And my first, and she might be my only grandchild, but finally a girl in my life. But what I noticed was that even when she was like 5 weeks old, if she was trying just to smile, it was like, good job. And it was everything got reinforcement, but it was always not, oh, you're true. It was always, good job. And as she got older and we'd go to the playground, that's all I was hearing. Good job. And I liked it because I think it makes kids feel important that they're doing something, you know, worthwhile, whether it's swatting at a mobile or learning to dress themselves, you know, every little step is an accomplishment. And so that's really where the idea came from. And George, in Good Job George, is very proud of himself for everything he can do, but he gets a little carried away and sometimes tries to help when it's not called for or you're not really listening to what your mom and dad have told you, and it can wind up where you're in a big mess. And so that's sort of the trajectory of Good Job, George.
I wonder if I say good job enough. I hope I do. I don't know that that's one of my go-to phrases with my kids. But
Well, your kids are probably old, I would imagine.
Yeah. Although actually this morning, my daughter, who's almost 15, was like, I made my bed. And I guess I was like, good job. So, you know, finally, I wanted to say, but that's okay. That's funny. It's true. We do. There is this whole culture of praise now, right? That we should, and it not just, it's also like, you can't praise people too much. And then you have to praise something specific, right? We can't say you're such a good artist. It has to be like, you tried really hard at that painting. Yeah. I love the effort you put into this.
Yes. Positive this reinforcement. Is. Yes. Fight. Talent or not.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Crazy. So is Nancy ever going to meet George in this fictitious world?
You know, it's funny. My agent said to me, you know, Nancy's younger sister, JoJo, almost looks artist has portrayed George. And he said, they look like they'd be friends, but I've never thought of kind of having a cross current like that. Well,
you never know. It could be cousins. Maybe
you don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I've written a second book about George that's called George to the Rescue.
I love it.
That takes place in a playground where, again, he's sometimes coming to the rescue where no rescue is needed. And as you know, Zibby, we have the same wonderful editor, Margaret Anastas, and it is great fun to edit and work on a book with her. And that's one of the things I really enjoy as a writer, is just batting ideas back and forth. Once you have a manuscript, to try and make it better. And she is super helpful and creative that way.
She is.
I'm sure you found the same thing.
I am such a huge Margaret Anastas fan. I told her, I was like, I feel like you need your name on this book, on the front. You know, like I feel like we did it together. She's like, no, this is what an editor does. And I was like, okay, great. But you being an editor also have your own, you know, you can put that hat on at the same time. So it's almost like your book has two editors right out the gate.
Well, that can be a problem sometimes. You can start over editing yourself if you're a writer who's also an editor. And I definitely found that with the first book for grown-ups that I wrote. I must have rewritten the first 50 pages like a zillion times. I was driving myself nuts.
And tell me more about that book.
Oh, well, actually, this brings up another connection we have. My kids went to a school in New York, and it was quite a really good school academically. It put a lot of pressure on kids. And after my younger son got into college, I suddenly got the idea of writing a mystery where the college counselor winds up murdered at the school.
So you were really happy about the college placement?
I was, but it was this sense of relief and never having to think about it ever again. And so the book is called Dangerous Admissions. And then I wrote, the main character is a copy editor who's always correcting mentally other people's grammar. And actually, the kind of mistake that a copy editor would pick up solves the mystery.
Love it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
So are you going to go back to novels for grown-ups, as you put it, or more?
Yeah, I wrote a second one, and now I'm working on a book. I went to Smith a million years ago, and most of the book takes place in 1965 with girls who are very good friends their freshman year, have a huge blow up, stop being friends. And then it's the same group of characters 50 something years later going back for their 50th reunion.
I love that. Amazing. It's almost like The Big Chill ish, right? Did you watch that movie? I don't know.
Sorry. Well, yeah.
That was only a weekend, but anyway, that sounds great. And what was it like developing Fancy Nancy into a show, and like the fact that you created this character one day and now it's like had this huge lifespan?
Well, Disney was just fabulous to work for. And at the very beginning, they consulted with both the illustrator, Robin Price Glasser, of all the Fancy Nancy books, and me. But once they got down the basics of the show and how they saw it progressing and what directions they wanted to go in, we really had very little input. They knew what they were doing. I don't know how to write a TV show or produce it. So, except at the beginning, there wasn't much involvement. And they also were writing their own books that were based on episodes of the TV show. So I was not working on those either. But I got to know the writers and the producers and the main director of the show quite well. And they were just wonderful.
Wow. How exciting. Is this where you thought your life would go?
You mean children's books?
Your whole life, like when you were a little girl. Did you hope it would go this way? Would you have had any clue?
Oh, I don't think I had any goals as a child other than like to win the next Monopoly game or something. And I was not in college an ambitious person at all. I fell into my career, really. But it was at a time when a lot of jobs were just low-hanging fruit. If you wanted to get into publishing and you were in New York, you could do it. Now it's much different. I wouldn't have needed to be much more goal-oriented if I wanted to get into publishing now.
Wow. This whole thing has been a bit of an accident.
Well, circuitous, let's say.
Circuitous. Yes. I love that. Has there been anything from meeting all these young fancy girls and hopefully boys from, although I don't know if you've gotten to meet as many, but that you've taken away and been surprised by, or that's informed your next book, or, you know?
Well, with my granddaughter, just being in the playground and watching, there were one little boy in the playground she most often goes to, and he was the kind who was sort of in everybody's business and trying to make sure everybody was doing what they were supposed to be. And there were times with Fancy Nancy when I can remember being at one book conference, and there was a little girl who had her doll with her, and her doll, I mean, it wasn't that huge coincidence, was wearing the same outfit as another doll. And so all of a sudden I thought, oh, I've never done a book about dolls and maybe dolls getting mixed up and ending up with the wrong owner. And yeah, other times there were ideas that popped up. Mainly, it was just how funny the kids were at events and what they would say to you. There was one little girl, it was down south. It was in Oxford, Mississippi, at a bookstore. And when she came to get her book signed, she whispered in my ear, "I like to call my underpants my privacy shorts." I thought, well, that's fancy. Yeah, and there were just always comments.
I bet.
Like that.
Oh my gosh. The doll, wasn't it Mirabelle? Lavinia Mirabelle?
Oh, yeah. Mirabelle Lavinia Chandelier.
Chandelier, yes. Oh my gosh, we read that one so many times. So funny. Wow. So what would your advice be for aspiring children's book authors?
I would say read as many, if you want to write a picture book, read as many picture books of the kind of picture book you would like to write yourself. See how the story is structured. I'm not the kind of editor or writer who really would ever be good at doing like a mood piece book. I like something with a beginning, a middle, an end, a real story. And what I always do is I page out a manuscript when I've got a whole rough copy of it and see if something is happening from page to page. And if it's not, if it's just talking heads, you don't have a picture book. You need action. And you almost can think of spreads as being like chapters, where often something is left a little hanging, and then you turn the page and you find out what happened. So I would read a lot. I would try, most picture books are 32 pages and start on page 4 or 5 and just see if you can lay out what you've written and does it add up to a 32 page picture book. And the other thing I would advise is not to get too message heavy. You want a story to have meaning. But I don't think there are many children who like to get preached to. Mm-hmm. And I've come across an awful lot of books, manuscripts, and in my career where they're really a message and a pretty obvious message. You want meaning through what happens to a character, and the character is the most important thing and what happens to that character, and that will have meaning, but it should be in the background where you're reading to find out what happens next, if that makes sense.
It does. That's good advice. Last question. What are some of the books that you've worked on as an editor?
Oh, well, now I mostly work on a series that I created about, I think it's almost 22 years ago. They're biographies for kids sort of 7 to 11. And the series originally was called Who Was. It still is called Who Was. But we added on What Was Books and Where Is Books. And each one, they have black and white illustrations, and there are 112 pages. And they're strong on narrative, not just reeling off the facts of a person's life or what happened at the Battle of Gettysburg, but a strong narrative pull, again, to keep readers wanting to find out what happens next. And there are now 300 books in the series.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, of course I know the series. Wow, that's exciting. Amazing. Well, Jane, thank you. This is really exciting. And
thank you. I'm so happy.
When I was on the floor all those years that I wasn't working and I was at home and reading the Fancy Nancys 1,000 times a day, like the idea that off now in the future, 10 years later, I'd get a chance to interview you. It's pretty
exciting.
Well,
it's wonderful to talk to you. And again, I'm very happy for you with Princess Charming, and I'm sure it's the first of many to come.
Thank you. Thank you so much. From your mouth to Margaret's ears. Okay. All right. I'll see you at our event soon. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @withZibbyandTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.